Well, nice to see you all. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Almighty God has given us His Word. He has made His Word known throughout all history, ever since the beginning. And He has dealt with mankind, and he's had a purpose. The purpose is our salvation. Since basically the beginning, when Adam sinned, I don't know how long they were in paradise, but however long it was paradise. And then man, and Adam and Eve, they sinned. You know, that's an interesting thing. You know, it says in Genesis that God called them Adam. He called them man. Adam, the male, called his wife Eve. God called them man. So it says, you know, when sin says it was Adam's sin, right? The both of them. You know, I know that the guys always want to blame the wife and then the women always want to blame the husband, right? But God doesn't have anything to do with that. He called them Adam. That's what he called them. And that just means man, from the red earth. That's what the word Adam means, from the red earth. So that didn't cost you nothing. I just threw it in there. But God, since the fall of man, God's been, first thing he said was, I'm going to send the seed of the woman. And it's going to destroy the devil. And he's going to deliver you. And ever since that day, the whole Bible has been really about that, about the coming of the Messiah and the salvation of mankind. And in chapter 1 and 2 of Hebrews, actually a little bit further than that, is what we're talking about. This is the subject that we're talking about. The book of Hebrews is given to those who are Jews in background to understand why Jesus Christ is so important, what he fulfilled, what he did, and to put together the Old Testament with the things that have happened with the New. So it says here, God, who in sundries time and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. We're talking about the Old Testament fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and so forth, all the believers that were there. He in sundries times, many different times, all throughout history, and in divers manners, multitude of ways in which he has done this, by angels, by prophet, by the burning bush, by, you know, all kinds of different things. God has, in verse 2 it says, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God's always been speaking to his people. The people got to be the ones who consider listening. You know, I think of this because when I was younger, much younger, and I was learning how to work, do a job, and I was learning how just things worked in life. You know, I was in my teens and so forth. And the guy who was running the job, the man who was in charge of the foreman, the guy who was in charge of the job, he would always yell at me, hey, kid, open your eyes. See what's in front of you. You know, don't you see that? And the truth of the matter was I didn't see it. I hadn't trained myself to look at the important thing, the details. I hadn't train myself to look at things that needed to be paid attention to. I'd never thought that these things needed to be paid attention to. You know, and it's the same thing with anything. Have you walked in a crowd and there are people who can pick out somebody out of a crowd if they're looking for them. And then for the most part, when I walk into a subway station, I just see heads. You know, I don't see details. But there are people who are trained, and they train themselves. There are people who do beautiful, like Richie does beautiful artwork and little details and pictures. And other people can put little wires together. I was playing with my computer. I couldn't believe how little these wires are that you get. I got these sausage fingers with these little tiny little wires. God has always been speaking to his people. That's the point. But not very many people have even been listening, using their ears to listen at all. You can watch God work around you, and he's working within each and every one of you, within your lives, within the stuff going on, but we only choose to hear what we want to hear half the time. But with God, we've got to ask, we've got to pay attention. We've got to say, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart. I'm seeking, I want to know. Remember Proverbs? If you want to know, he'll show it to you. You'll hear it. You'll hear his voice. You'll hear him run a verse right through your mind when you need to hear it, when you need to know it. Verse 2 again, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages. This is not talking about creation. And I'm going to get back to this particular verse in a minute, because this one's always give people... Everybody has a hard time with the book of Hebrews because they all think Jesus is God. They have a very difficult time with this book because of that. If you get a preconceived idea that Jesus is God, this book makes no sense. You gotta jump through hoops in order to get this thing to work, this first few chapters. If you don't believe he's God, like I don't, because it's just nonsense that he is, you know, that people would believe that he is. If you don't, it makes perfect sense. God, who's been speaking to mankind through the prophets, he has sent his Son and now speaking to us. God has made him heir of all things. And God, throughout all the ages, has done this. See, by whom also he made the ages. It's not creation, it's ages as in time. Who being the brightness, God has made him who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, God's power, he hath by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He did all of this. The Christ who is heir of all things, God has sent him to do this stuff. Being made so much better than the angels, Christ is made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. How did he get this? By inheritance. Remember Philippians? Because the obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, therefore there's no name above. His name is above every name. Every knee has to bow to him. He earned it. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels saith he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And that, by the way, is in Psalm 2, verse 7. Many of these are scriptures in the Old Testament. And Psalm 2, 7 is talking about when Christ comes back and he presides over the kingdom? Which of the angels did he give this to? None of them. He gave it to him. And again, in this other verse, in 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. This is, and you each one of these verses, if you take the time, and you really need to, you go back to that section in the Old Testament and read and understand the section. Here in 2 Samuel is talking about when God makes the covenant with David that there will always be a man to sit on his throne. So God's saying, hey, I've been saying this all along. And again, in another Old Testament verse, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And that verse, where is it? It's in Isaiah. It's in Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. Let's just keep your finger here and go there. Psalm 45. Now, that would be a verse that many people would say, see, God, he calls him God. But we're going to read it in Psalm 45, where there's only one God in the Old Testament. Remember? And if you look at the Hebrew words, you could figure this out. But let's just look at Psalm 45. 6 and 7 is where it's quoted from. And we'll keep reading. It says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of thy kingdom is a righteous scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath appointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The first word, God, there, God, thy God, Elohim is that word. You know, so Elohim is talked about as human beings who are over in authority over others. It's used in the book of Judges as for the judge, the judges. They are the Elohim. Jesus Christ talks about this in the Gospels when he points back to these scriptures. And he says, see, even in the Old Testament, it says that you are gods, men of authority. It's also used of God Almighty as the creator. He is the one of authority. Elohim is not just a title for God. It's also used for men. So when you look at that, then this is the quote. Psalm 45, then you go back to Hebrews. We're not talking about Jesus being God. We're talking about the one of authority. See, Jesus is God, is the creator. He is the one who is authority to rule with the scepter of righteousness over the kingdom. He is going to be the top guy on the earth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he's going to reign. And his God is God. Because God gave him this inheritance. Do you see? Do you get it? But if you really do believe Jesus is God, what are you going to do with this? Then he's talking to himself. God number one talks to God number two. God, thy God. You know, and I don't mean to, but it is foolishness. It is a wacky theology. I'm not ashamed to say that. Don't worry about offending. This is the truth. Too many people are too afraid to say the truth. You know, like there's just male and female. And then there are mistakes. But that's a terrible thing to say these days. You know, you don't pick out the oddity and make it its own category. There are men and women. And then there are people who are confused. Verse 6, and again, he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. Isn't that what it says in Matthew? And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. I mean, the angels are no slouches. You know, they are his ministers, and they have authority and power. They're nothing to be messed with. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, you got all the authority, is forever and ever. It's a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee. He's ordained thee, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That includes the angels. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundations of the earth, the heavens, and are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old, as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up. I love that picture. It's like folding it. I picture it as like he's going to fold it like a towel, like a shirt. You're just going to fold it up. And they shall be changed, for thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstools? Which of the angels said that to? God declared Christ, his Son, the ruler of righteousness. He is the one who's inherited all things. He is the one that God has worked this all out throughout the ages. Are they not all ministering spirits, verse 14, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You know, that's what the angels are supposed to be doing, right? They're God's ministers, and they're sent forth to those who are going to be heirs of salvation. That's us. You need help, you'll get help. And I bet you most of us have been touched by an angel from here and there and other which ways. I know I have been. And I'm not talking about the TV show. You know? I'm talking about the real thing. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Because of all of this, because of God's preeminence of Christ, because of what he has laid out and he has done and he has spoken throughout all the ages, how he has worked out all these things and the authority that he has given our Lord, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. The words of Christ, don't let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, the kingdom to come. Whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testifying, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? This is another Old Testament scripture. Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he hath left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. These are all Old Testament verses to say that this is. Now he makes the switch here. He says, well, he's made a little lower than the angels. We're going to see why. See, first chapter, he's greater than the angels, right? Authority, righteousness, ruler. Now he's a little lower than the angels because he's got to die. Because we don't, at today, this day, you know that the God and Jesus ain't running everything that's going on in this planet. It's not all put under him just yet. We're living in a present evil age. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death. The word for is in place of every man. He was made physically human. And you know what? We all die. He was specifically sent as a human, the second man, the second Adam. In that sense, he is lower than the angels. Don't die until God chooses at the end. He's going to knock off a whole bunch of them, the devil and all his spirits. They are angels too. But he was sent as a man. Why? Because he had to suffer the sufferings of death. Because of that, he's going to be crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, or in place of every man. For it became him. Whom are all things and by whom are all things to bring many sons unto glory and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Christ had to pay for our sins. He had to pay for the sin that was done. God sent him, his only begotten son, and he suffered and he died. But God raised him from the dead, and he dies no more. Verse 11, for both he that's sanctified and they that are sanctified are all one. See, he sanctified us. We are now sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. You believe you're set apart for this. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who has authority over all things, is going to inherit everything. And he's not ashamed to call you brethren. He's not ashamed to call you family. Now, if he's not ashamed to call you family, what's another good word for that? I don't know. Relatives? Kinsmen? Paisan? Yeah, I figured. Tony, God bless you. Only Tony. What do I say to that? That was funny. See, he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Yet so many of his brothers and sisters are ashamed to speak about him. That's a heartbreaker, isn't it? And we just got to be proud that this is our brother. Got to be proud of what he's done, who he is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the truth. If God says there's one, then there's one. If God says there's just male and female, there's male and female. If God says marriage is between a man, it's between a man and a woman. I'm not, you know, if you want to do something else, fine, just leave the word alone. I think this is America. I think everybody ought to have the same exact rights as everybody else. I'm not holding, if you got a whole different system and you're supposed to be able to do it without being penalized, but don't penalize me. Call me a bigot and a homophobe and everything else. I mean, they got more words for me than, hey, I'm proud of them because they're speaking it to me. You know, I remember I said that years ago in the church. Nobody believed me when I stood up at the podium and said it. They go, I'm a racist, homophobe, xenophobe, all these other different things. Because, I don't know, I just believe what the Bible says. It just believe what the scripture says. It's the truth. Don't be afraid. He's not ashamed of us. I'm not ashamed of him. There's only one way to get to God. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. No other thing is going to cut it. Now, you want to believe in it? Hey, you're welcome to do. Hope it works out for you, because I don't think so. And at the end, I'll just ask you the question, how'd that work out for you? See, that's where I'm at. I'm not trying to be unloving, but I am not cowering or bowing to any other thing out there. I'm not going out of my way, and this is the deal with Christianity. I'm not going out of my way to hurt anyone. I just want to preach and teach the best thing that's in the world that God has been preaching and teaching, which is the Messiah and the truth of his word. Now, you take it or leave it, but that's all I want to do, is love you enough to teach you the truth. Everybody's a sinner. Nobody's better than anybody else. I needed a Savior. That's why the difference between the thief and me is I just realized I needed a Savior. He is not ashamed to call. Verse 12, saying, I will declare, and this is another Old Testament scripture, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the churches, I will sing praises unto thee. Gee, the Christ is going to declare God's name unto his brethren. He's not ashamed of it. In the midst of the churches, he's going to sing praises unto thee. When we sing praises unto God, I don't think that people understand that Christ is in the midst of the churches singing praises also. I mean, you got Christ in you, right? You really think you'd be doing this otherwise? And again, verse 13, and again, another scripture, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. And I think many miss this. The reason that the devil will be destroyed and will die in the lake of fire is because Christ came as a man. He suffered and died and paid the price of sin. Not only for us, but also paid the price so that God could execute the devil when the time comes, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, a man. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them, to help them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider your apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That's where I'm going to leave it right now. Just consider him. God's been sending this message out since the beginning. He has done it throughout all the ages. He set it up at the beginning. You know, when God set the stars in their courses, and you know when the planets lined up and Jupiter lined up in a certain constellation and Christ was born, and the Magi came and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? All that was done in Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 1. Before man was on the earth. He's been doing this through the ages. And this is the way he wants it. His son. Thy throne, O God, O Elohim, ruler of the kingdom. Therefore, thy God say unto thee. If you got Jesus as God, you just try to read these guys with the books that they write. They are... I feel bad for them. It is so plain, so simple. And you read, just read with understanding, and you get the picture. He is the expressed image of his Father. He's not his Father. He's the reflection of the brightness of God's glory. We're supposed to walk as the lights of the world. We're supposed to do like he did. When you walk in love, they get to see Christ's love in you. And again, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Let us never be ashamed to speak up on his behalf. Never. So, bless you all. That's what I wanted to share with you today. And I say goodbye to my Mary and Sarah and Brielle and Christine and Zach. I see you guys are on. I love you all very much. So, let me just pray. Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for your great grace and tender mercies. For your word, Father, I thank you for how you've just made it known to us. It's basically very simple, my God, when we have faith in you and we don't have preconceived ideas, my Lord. We just read what's written. Thank you for your help in our lives and for your blessing this day. Thank you for the food that we're about to enjoy. For those who abundantly share, Father, multiply it back to them according to your will. Thank you for all your love and all your goodness, for taking care of each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless everybody.